I'm going to talk to you about how to build a fire. Anybody want to know how to build a fire? In church, Pastor Wayne? Not the physical kind. We've been there. We've done that. We don't want that. We're talking about a spiritual fire. Last Sunday, we concluded 21 days of prayer and fasting, and God did some good things in our lives, didn't he? But what I hear God saying to me is that he's not done yet. Just because our time of fasting and prayer is over, God's not done with what he's doing. As a matter of fact, I believe God wants to create a new normal of his presence and of his power in our lives. We thank God for what he's done. I received testimonies over the last few days about how God restored families and how God moved in people's hearts and how he's moving in unsaved children who are coming back to Christ and just miracles. And so we thank God for that. But what I sense God telling me is that this time of prayer, we probably offered probably thousands of hours of prayer as we prayed every day. We joined here in the worship center and we fasted and we sought the Lord, and we shouldn't be surprised at all then that God moved and that God worked. Last Sunday's service was, wow, it was just incredible. The presence of God and the power of God as we worship. Somebody sent me a testimony this last week about how God healed their hurt and healed some of the stuff, that junk that happened in the past in a church they were involved in, because God can do that. Right? God's presence can do that. But we're not going to go back to the way things used to be. Let's make a new normal of prayer, of seeking God, of pressing into God's presence, because that's what we need. Is anybody in agreement with me here today? And so we have suspended our Wednesday night programs for adults to continue to pray and to worship. And I want to encourage you to join us as we do that, because I sense that this is a very significant time for me individually. I sense it is for our church as well, that we need to seek the Lord. And so I push back the series that we were planning to start today, because I want to share a message with you about how to start a fire. Okay? Now, how many of you are campers or hikers and you enjoy that kind of thing? Let me see your hand. A lot of campers here. You know, one of the most important parts of camping and hiking is you got to be able to build a fire. A lot of times the quality of your experience may have to do with whether or not you can build a fire. And so I want to share with you just some very practical illustrations of what it means to build a fire and how that applies to us in our spiritual walk, because that's what God wants for us. And so I did a little bit of homework, you know, which means I went to YouTube. Right? How to build a fire. I was looking for Boy Scout videos. I was looking for maybe some Royal Ranger videos. And if you don't know what Royal Rangers is, it's a program that we have on Wednesday night for boys. It's a lot like Boy Scouts, except everything is biblically based. And so I encourage all of you that have boys who are in elementary age to join the Royal Ranger program. But I couldn't find anything. So I just studied and I came up. There's basically three or four steps to building a good fire. Okay, now here's the first one. The very first step in building a good fire is you have to clear a space. Everybody say clear. If you're going to have a good fire, you got to clear a space, because, you know, first thing, you have to remove all the debris and all the junk out of the way so the fire can start and grow and breathe. And you want to make sure nothing's in the way in case it catches fire. I have an illustration. Now, I was never a Royal Ranger. I was never a Boy Scout. I didn't get to participate in any of those programs, but I did grow up in the woods, which means I have started my share of fires. Let me tell you about one particular one where we did not take time to clear the space. One particular time, you know, we lived in the woods. We weren't allowed to just sit around and watch TV all day, especially in the summertime. You had to go out and find something to do. Well, me and my brothers, we were good at finding stuff to do. One particular time, we decided we were going to take cattails from our neighbor's pond, dip them in gasoline, and light them on fire. Don't do that to me. How many know exactly what I'm talking about? You do. That's right. I see all you sinners. Now, here's what we did. We went to our neighbor's pond, and our neighbor, you know, was, you know, over the river through the woods. He lived a fair piece away. So we go over there, and he's about the same age as me and my brothers. And so we get the cattails, we dip them in gasoline, we went to light them, and somebody, and I'm sure it wasn't me, kicked over the gas can. Now, and so here was this fire line just begin to grow. And the part I haven't told you yet is that we were doing this under his carport. Does anybody guess what happened? We burned the carport down.
Now, thankfully, it wasn't attached to his house. And by the way, we were never allowed to come back to that dude's house ever again.
So the first step in building a fire, you got to clear the space, right? And how many know that's kind of what we did in our time of fasting and prayer. We cleared out the clutter. We cleared out the stuff that kind of smothers the fire of God. And we just gave extra time to prayer. And in order for us to have a quality fire, you got to clear a space. The second step to building a good fire is you got to add some wood or some sort of combustible materials. And so a bulky material that will provide the substance for a fire to consume. So and for us, in our walk, you know, if you're building a fire, you got to have some stuff like this, and because you may start with twigs or tinder or something like that, but you add bigger pieces, and pretty soon you can add pieces like this, and then the fire begins to grow and begin to burn. How many know what I'm talking about? So you got to have something for it. You have to have something for it to burn, because that's the word of God. Right? For us, we got to have something for the fire to burn in us. The scripture says in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9, that his word is in our heart as a burning fire shut up in our bones. When we put God's word in our spirit, man, it burns and grows in the fire of God. How many understand what I'm talking about? Now, in order for the fire to burn, we got to keep putting logs on the fire, don't we? Because what happens if you have a flame and there's nothing to burn? You get this. I love watching your faces when we do that. Would you say thank you to Melody and Anthony and Matthew for making that happen today? Great job, guys. And as a former pyromaniac, that smells good. Gunpowder. Now, here's the deal. A lot of our spiritual lives are like that. You know, we have the experience, we have the flame, but there's nothing to catch fire. And so the fire doesn't continue. The substance doesn't go forward because we don't add the word of God. We have these experiences, but we don't build the fire. How many understand what I'm talking about? And so in order to build a fire, you got to have something for it to burn. Now, the third thing that you need after you've cleared the space and you gather the wood, somebody's got to light the fire, right? Now, I wouldn't suggest using what we just did to light a fire. Some people use these little flamey thingamahoochies or whatever this thing is, you know. This is for my candle in my office. Don't judge me. Yes, I have a candle in my office. But some people, you know, expert hikers, expert campers, they'll use the wax matches or the electronic matches. You got to have some source of fire in order for the fire to burn. And I'm going to show you in just a few minutes from Leviticus chapter 6, that's our theme verse for today, that the fire, the source of the fire is the presence of God. Now, here's the fourth thing. In order to build a fire, you have to tend the flame. You got to take care of the flame. So to keep a fire going, you have to pay attention to it, right? You got to keep adding wood to it. You got to remove the ashes. You got to keep it clear so that it will continue to burn. You can't just light it and walk away, because I don't care how big your fire is. You know, we could add this platform just full of wood, set it on fire, and guess what? In a few hours or maybe longer, it's eventually going to die down unless somebody keeps adding wood to the fire, keeps taking care of the fire. How many former campers love, you know, when you get to stay up at night and kind of tend the fire to keep it going? I love those moments when I'm camping, because, you know, you want to make sure it's going the next day. Somebody's got to take care of it. And that's how we build a fire. So listen, in the Old Testament, we're about to see what all this means to us personally in our walk with God, our relationships, our homes, and the church. Okay, how many ready to learn something here today? And I hope you don't just learn something. I hope we're inspired. I hope we're inspired to go to a new normal, a new level of God's presence. I believe God has put this in my heart to share with you, because it's a word from the Lord for our church. Now, Leviticus chapter 6, I'm going to share with you one verse here today. The fire must be kept burning on the altar continuously. It must not go out. Would you say that with me? The fire must be kept burning on the altar continuously. It must not go out. Now, this was a command that God gave to the priest who were taking care of the Old Testament tabernacle. Now, we referred to the Old Testament tabernacle a few times here in the last few weeks in our series that we called Closer, because the Old Testament tabernacle was the pattern of worship in the Old Testament. Now, how many know Jesus came and fulfilled that, all of the details of the tabernacle, so we no longer have that. But in the Old Testament, remember, it was this roving church, so to speak. And so one of the pieces of furniture in the Old Testament tabernacle was a brazen altar. Okay, and we've got a picture of it here on the screen. So inside the courtyard of the tabernacle is this huge altar area, and there had to be a fire burning in it. I want you to notice this was not some small campfire. This was a blazing experience, and the priests would come and they would offer burnt offerings and sacrifices in the morning and at noon, in the afternoon, in the evening sacrifices. So this was the fire that would consume the sacrifices, and God's command to the priests was, don't let that fire go out. It has to burn continuously. You can't start it in the morning, put it out at night, you know, and no matter what Smokey the Bear says. Right, you know, you got to start, you got to keep it going. It has to be going continuously. It can never go out. So the priest's job was to tend the flame on the altar to take care of it. Now I want you to imagine how serious of a job this was for the priest and just how hard it might be to keep this fire going. Because remember, as the cloud moved in the desert, they were following the cloud. Sometimes the cloud would get up and move and they say, we got to go there because that's the presence of God. And the cloud would stay for a few days sometimes. The cloud would stay for a few weeks sometimes or a few years. But every time the cloud moved, the tabernacle, they pulled up all of the tent stakes and all the courtyard and they would move it. And guess what? The priests had to take the fire with them. They couldn't say, okay, it's moving day. Let's put out the fire and start it again. No, because they didn't start this fire. So God said, you got to take care of this thing. So when they would move, somebody had to pack up the fire. I'm not even sure how you could do something like that. I'm sure there's some sort of scientific explanation of how people can do that even now. But I want you to see that this was possible. The priests did their job. Through the 40 years in the wilderness, where the fire was on the brazen altar in the tabernacle, to the hundreds of years when the brazen altar was in the temple of God built by Solomon, they never let it go out. One commentary I read said this, it says, the fire never was quenched till the destruction of the temple by Nebuchadnezzar. Indeed, we are positively assured that the priests who were carried captives into Persia concealed it in a pit where it remained till the time of Nehemiah when it was restored to the altar. How awesome is that? They took the command of God very seriously. And I want you to think how hard it would be to keep a flame, the same flame going for over 500 years. I mean, imagine, you know, it's 2015, so 500 years ago, the year 1515, granddaddy Murray, you know, been passing it on, you know, watch the fire, make sure it doesn't. Imagine 500 years later, that fire still be going. There would be cameras on that thing. Talk about an eternal flame, right? That's what the priests did, and they did it because God said it. Now, what does any of this have to do with us? Because that's Old Testament. We're not in the Old Testament. I believe this Old Testament command is a picture of how we too must tend the presence of God in our own lives and how we can build the fire of God in our personal altar, in our family altar, and in our public altar here in the church. I believe what God is saying to us is that each one of us has a fire in us that we are responsible for. It's the fire of God. And that our homes can be a place where the presence of God can grow as well. And that our church can have the flame of God burning in our spirit. Somebody say amen. Now let me give you just a few examples here or how this relates to us. First of all, the fire represents the presence of God. In Leviticus chapter 9, verse 24, it specifically says fire came out from the presence of the Lord. So this fire that the priests were taking care of literally was fire from heaven. It was holy fire straight from God. You say, Pastor, how does that work? Because Hebrews says that our God is a consuming what? Our God is a consuming fire, so it should be no surprise to us at all that the presence of God is in the fire, or that fire came out from the presence of God. So when we talk about tending the fire in our own lives, in our own altars, we're talking about taking care of the presence of God. We're talking about tending the flame of the presence of God in our lives. And the second thing I want to share with you is that the priests in this illustration is us. We are the priests. Again, the Old Testament worship system was simply a picture pointing to Jesus and his fulfillment of every detail. So why did God create the Old Testament tabernacle? The Bible says it was a copy and a shadow of the way things are in heaven. And so Jesus fulfilled every detail of that. And so how many know we don't have to have priests who go offer sacrifices for us anymore? Aren't you glad? I don't have to have a priest go talk to God for me, because the scripture says I can come boldly into the throne of grace and find help in the time of need. I don't have to go tell some priest and have them do it for me. I can do it right now. I can do it at my house. I can do it in my car. I can ask God. I can talk to God because Jesus has made a way by his sacrifice. Somebody give God praise if you're happy for that here today. The priests are us. So Revelation chapter 1 says he has made us to be a kingdom of priests to his God and Father. Another scripture says that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. So this picture in the Old Testament means that you and I are now the priests. You and I are the ones who now receive the command, the fire must never go out on the altar. It has to be kept burning continuously. So whose job is it now to take care of the fire of God? It is me. It is you. The command of God to tend the fire on an altar, and that fuel, or the fuel that builds the fire, is prayer and the word of God. How many know prayer causes spiritual fires? The priest would add to the fire with a specific type of wood to keep the fire going to build it. And we see this fulfilled in the book of Acts after the death of Jesus and resurrection of Jesus. In Acts chapter 1, verse 14, the Bible says the followers of Jesus were constantly in prayer. You know what they were doing? They were adding to the fire. And then Acts chapter 2, it says tongues of fire appeared on their heads. How many know there's a very serious connection between prayer and the fire of God? There's a very real connection between praying and the presence of God. We should not be surprised when we draw close to God, he draws close to us, and he's a consuming fire. Make sense today? So the fuel is prayer and the word of God. And the altar, that brazen altar, is now us, our spirit man or our soul. The altar is the place where the fire burns, where the presence of God burns. And I'm talking about today about our private altar. I'm talking about my life, our individual lives. Each of us has an altar, a private altar, where you get to tend the flame of your own spirit. And some are here today, if we were to open the picture, you know, the front door of the stove of your belly, we would open that and we would see a nice fire going. And some of you, your fire's as bright as it's been a long time because of our prayer and fasting. Perhaps some of you, though, we open the door to your belly and maybe it's just a few glowing embers. It's not quite what it used to be. Or maybe there's some here today, if you open the door, all you see are ashes because the fire's gone out. We've got some good news today. God's ready to restart the fire. God is ready to build the flame in our hearts and lives. Do you believe that here today? Here's the deal. We get to decide how big and how bright the fire of God's presence is burning in us. We get to decide. I mean, if I want the fire to be small, I'm going to keep it small by only adding a little bit. But if I want that fire to be big, let's bring it, baby. Bring the trees, not just the limbs. Right, I could make this thing as big as we wanted to just by adding. We get to decide how bright the fire is, how hot the fire is, how big the fire is, because we have as much of God in our lives as we want. You have as much of the fire of God burning into your spirit as you want to right now. And I'm praying, God, change our want to. God, change our passion. God, change my heart. I want more of you than ever before. We had a visitor this past week at our church, and it was a representative of one of the largest youth ministries in the world. And they came because they're interested in using our building for one of their events, you know, which is awesome. But he came back a couple days later, and he sat down with me, and He says, I've been fasting and praying. And he goes, I want you to know, when I walked in your building the other day, he goes, there was a strong presence of God here. You know, and I'm okay with that. That's pretty good. He goes, I visit a lot of churches. He goes, and especially these days, you just don't experience that much anymore. He goes, but something is different here. He goes, the presence of God is strong. I almost thought I was in a strong Star Wars. The presence of God is strong with it. Here's what I told him. I said, well, you need to know, we just finished 21 days of prayer and fasting as a church. We've never had this many people participate in a fast before. I've never seen such hunger and passion in our church. You know, with tears in his eyes, he says, whatever you're doing, keep on doing it. And it's just another confirmation to me that God is not done here. That God wants us to take this fire that is burning in our spirits and for it to grow. And for the very last, we definitely don't want it to shrink. We don't want to go down to pilot light status. You guys know what I'm talking about? Well, it's on, but you know, somebody needs to flip the switch on your fireplace. That was free, totally free. The church I showed you a few weeks ago, remember during our time of fasting and prayer, I showed you a picture of a church who, during their 21 days of prayer, they had to set up a tent in the parking lot because at 6 in the morning, the sanctuary that seats over 1,000 people was full. And so they had to set up a tent on their parking lot so people could have a place to pray because it was cold. It was 30 degrees. Now you say, what's the big deal? Well, because prayer causes spiritual fires. Oh, by the way, they saw 3,000 people get baptized last year. Oh, by the way, they have a multitude of different campuses through video, but 11 of those video campuses are in prisons, where they do a live feed of their service into prison, and they raise up pastors and small group leaders in the prisons so people can find Jesus. I showed you another picture of a church in California that every Monday night they have a prayer service, and I showed you a picture. The place was full, thousands of people showing up to pray. Oh, by the way, 2 weekends ago, they had an outreach where 780 people gave their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. The picture on Instagram is incredible because their platform is probably 3 times the size of ours, and it was just filled with people getting right with God. I'm trying to tell you something. I'm trying to show you something. Prayer starts spiritual fires. And when we pray, the fire burns. When we pray, the fire grows. And the result is changed hearts and lives. Well, Pastor, what happens? Why do we want this fire so bad? Why do we need this fire of God burning brighter and stronger? You know, is it so that we can have longer services? Is it so that when we come to church, we get blessed really good? You know, and we have an encounter with God? Hey, that's if that happens, that's great and that's part of it, but that's not the ultimate goal. Jesus said, listen to me, church. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why? To preach good news to those who are captive, freedom to those who are bound, and the recovery of sight to the blind. Why do we need the power of God? Why do we need the fire of God burning? Because people need Jesus, and people are bound, and they're addicted, and they're hurting, and they're broken, and darkness abounds, and we need the fire of God to burn in us so that people will experience freedom and anointing and salvation, because God's not willing that any should perish, but that everyone should come to repentance. Can I tell you what's happening right now? Is people are ignoring the church. They just ignore us because we try so hard to entertain. We try so hard to keep people's attention, and we do the song and dance. Can I tell you, they will never be able to ignore a fire. They will never be able to ignore the fire of God burning in your heart and in my heart and in this place. Prayer causes spiritual fires that lead to people repenting, that lead to holy living, that lead to restoration, that leads to personal revival, that leads to family revival, that leads to healing marriages. Come on, somebody. Prayer leads to all of those things as God's fire begins to burn in our hearts, in our souls. So let me bring this message to a close because we're about to pray. And I want to give you a very practical application or illustration of why we need this fire, because what fire provides. What does fire provide for us as individuals? First thing that fire provides is light. Remember, the people of Israel were in the desert. There was no electricity. They didn't have the flashlight app yet for their smartphones. No smartphones. I'm just testing you. I'm trying to make a reference to smartphones pretty much every Sunday, so you'll look up from your smartphone and actually look at me. Yes, I'm doing that on purpose. You're welcome. Thank you. They didn't have flashlights. All they had was fire to light the way. And can I tell you, we live in a dark, dark world that's growing darker by the day. The world is being filled with darkness, and we need the light of God's presence to guide the way. We need the light of God's presence to be with us. The second thing that fire provides is warmth. It was cold in the desert at night, right? And in our cold, cold world, we need the warmth of God's presence and love. The Bible says in the last days, one of the marks of the last days is that people's hearts will grow cold. We see such violence, we see such callousness, such selfishness, such hard-heartedness, and the fire of God undoes that. The fire of God melts hardened hearts. The fire of God begins to create the warmth of God's love and God's grace. That's what we want. We want that warmth flowing out of us. It changes your relationships. Instead of being hard-nosed and hardened faces and hardened hearts where you live, all of a sudden the warmth of God's presence, it makes you love everybody, my dad used to say. Isn't that good? It makes us love people who are lovable. It helps us to love one another, even when the world says, hate them, or shun them, or isolate them. We need the warmth of God's presence in our hearts, our homes, our marriages, our relationships, our church, and our community. Somebody say amen. Another thing that fire provides is direction. The scripture says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. In the Old Testament, they had no direction where they were going. They followed the cloud. They followed the fire of God. Can I tell you that the more we build the fire of God, that fire begins to light the way for the path that we should go. Not just in the big decisions of life of who do I marry and what career and do I take this job, do I move? I'm talking about in the everyday part of your life, who to talk to about Jesus today, and he's going to give you direction about what's going on in their hearts and lives and what to say to your neighbors and how to reach out to those coworkers. Come on, somebody. He'll give direction. You'll begin to hear that still small voice. So as that fire begins to burn, you'll begin to hear that still small voice of being spirit-led and spirit-guided, and the Holy Spirit of God will begin to do miracles through you. And they'll say, who in the world have you been talking to? I was talking to somebody a couple days ago. I was like, Pastor, it's like you live in my house. I'm like, well, I'm thinking, I'm really glad I live where I live. I prefer that. But when we listen to the Spirit's voice, all of a sudden, supernatural things could begin to happen. Fire provides direction. And I love this. Fire provides power. It's no shocker that the word firepower has the word fire in it. Fire produces power. Years ago, steam engines, right? You know, it would take the hot blazing fire to create the steam that would make the engines of the locomotive go forward. And, you know, I enjoy using this illustration. You've seen Back to the Future 3. I mean, I love this scene, right? It's on the screen. The engine's behind the DeLorean because they got to get it up to how fast? Well, if only we knew the Bible as much as we knew this movie. 88 miles an hour, that's right. Come on. Got to get it up. And so it's got to burn hotter, 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 put more wood in, more wood in it, boom, there it goes. And listen, it's the same with our spiritual lives. The more wood we put in, the more word of God, the more prayer, the more fasting, the more seeking God, the hotter the fire burns. And you know what begins to happen? It's just like what happens in your car. That gasoline begins to fire and those pistons begin to pump. And as those pistons begin to pump, it begins to turn the crank for your wheels. And you hit the gas and all of a sudden you're making progress. It's the same way in our spiritual lives. When we do that, the fire of God begins to churn in us. And all of a sudden, instead of standing still or being lethargic or being apathetic, we're making hay with Jesus. Can I say that? Is that a spiritual analogy? We are making progress. And I'm growing, and I'm learning, and God's using me, and the Spirit of God is growing inside of me, and I have power. Fire provides protection. At night in the desert, there are fearful things. Wild animals. The fire would provide protection and a warning to everyone around them that this was no ordinary fire. This was the fire of God. And how many know when we're filled with the fire of God's presence, we too are walking in the protection and the power of God? Let me say that again. When we are walking in the fire and power of God's presence, we are walking in the power and protection of God. And can I tell you, there's probably no greater time in the world where we need the protection of God than right now. Here's the last one. Fire provides purity. Fire has a purifying effect on its surroundings. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. You know, in a refining process, the heat from the fire separates impurities from gold or silver or other precious metals. And the longer the elements are exposed to the heat or the fire, the more the dross and the impurities come to the top, and that refiner would scrape that off, and what you have left is pure gold. Listen, the more this fire of God burns in our spirits, the purer and purer we become, because it begins to burn up unholiness. It begins to burn up sinfulness. It begins to burn up flesh. Come on, somebody. When we make this fire burn in our souls and our spirits through prayer and the Word of God and seeking His face, all of a sudden, instead of trying to be holy, I become holy. Instead of trying to do better and trying to kick the sin habit, all of a sudden I'm changing on the inside because the fire is burning in my soul and in my spirit, and it's burning up all that stuff away. If you want to kick the sin habit, you got to develop the prayer habit and build this fire of God and burn in your spirit, man. Far too many of us are just happy with the pilot light experience. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Praise God. No, God wants you to build that fire to burn in you. Holiness and righteousness and purity. The Bible says that God, that Jesus Christ is coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, holy, blameless. Without this fire, we can't live that way. Some people say, Pastor, it's impossible to live a holy life. I'm telling you today, it's not impossible. It's impossible on your own. It's possible if the fire's burning in your spirit. But when there's no fire in our bellies, when we're not tending the flame and we're not feeding it, there's no power to purify us. We have callous hearts. We have compromised hearts. We've got no desire to change. We start making excuses for our sinfulness. We start to justify worldly actions that 2 years ago or 5 years ago or 10 years ago, we would have said, there's no way I would ever do that. Listen to me. Listen to me. When the fire dies, you become like everything around you. But when the fire burns, you're different. I believe that God has brought you here today, everybody. Because these are amazing times that we live in. These are incredible times that we live in. It's a war, it's a fight. And God is saying, I am your answer. Keep the fire burning on the altar. Don't let it go out. How about you? What does your fire look like? What does the fire on your altar look like? If we were to open the door of your soul, if we were to open the front door of the wood-burning stove of your life, and we were to open it, what would we see? Would we see this? Would we see a nice burning flame. The fire of God, because somebody's taking care of it. I'm tending it. I'm removing the ashes. I'm adding wood through prayer and the Word of God. I'm spending time with God. I'm going to church. I'm serving. That fire's growing, growing, growing. I believe there are a lot of people here today. If you go back to that picture, I believe there are a lot of people here today that if you open the window to your soul, the door, that's what you would see. And you know what happens with people like that when we come to church together? It's awesome. Pastor, why do you keep nagging us and challenging us all the time to have our own time with God? Because if your fire's burning, and your fire's burning, and your fire's burning, we come to church, we come to pray. All of a sudden, that wild-eyed pyromaniac that I used to be as a kid starts to come back. Hey. If we opened the door to your spirit, man, would we find some glowing embers? Would we find some remnants of fire that used to be really strong, but it's just not quite as strong as it used to be? Or perhaps, if we opened the door to your spirit and we looked in, it would be cold. And all there would be is ashes. Maybe there once was a fire there. Maybe there's never been a fire there, but there's no life. There's no fire. There's no presence of God in your life at all. You're dead. Today, God will send fire from heaven, and He will start the flame in you. And you who were once dead will become alive in Jesus Christ, because God will take Himself and put Himself inside of you. And that eternal flame, that fire that comes from heaven, will begin to burn inside of you. I hope you get the analogies that God's Word is making here today, because He loves you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed all over this place. Nobody's leaving, nobody's looking around, a very holy time. But would you listen closely? You're here today, and you say, Pastor, if I were to open the door to my soul, if I were honest, it would probably just be ashes. It would probably just be cold in there, because I'm not serving God. There's no life of God in me. I don't have a relationship with Christ. I've not given my heart to Christ, or I did a long time ago, but I'm not following Him now. You're here today, you'd be honest and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I want life. I want eternal life through Jesus Christ. And as you're preaching today, I sense I need that. I want that. Today, from this day forward, I'm ready to serve Christ and give my heart and life to Him. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to count to three. When I say three, hands are going to go up. I'm going to say, Pastor Wayne, pray for me. I need Jesus in my heart today. Today, I want to make a decision to serve Jesus Christ. One, put your hand up when I say three. Two, listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And when I say three, raise your hand up real high. God's speaking to you. Just say yes. One, two, three. Put it up. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Put it up. Keep raising them. Keep raising them. Keep raising them. Many, many hands are up. Keep raising them. Keep raising them. Keep raising them. God bless you. 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 Keep it up for just one more moment. I want to pray for you here in just a second. Everyone with your hand raised, pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, come on, say it out loud. Dear Jesus, thank you for bringing me to church today to remind me that you love me, that you came to die on the cross because of sin, my sin. I agree with you. I'm guilty. I've broken your laws. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Would you make me a new person? From this day forward, I choose you, Jesus Christ. I will follow you I will serve you. Now put your fire in me and burn in my heart for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now those of you that raised your hand, and there were probably 15 or 20 of you that did, in just a moment, we're gonna have a time where we pray, and I want you to come, and I want you to join right over here. There's gonna be some pastors that are gonna join you. We're gonna put some information in your hands. We're gonna put some scripture portions in your hand, because you wanna know why? You wanna build the fire, right? We're gonna give you some wood, not literally, but symbolically, give you some wood to build your fire in the presence of God. Somebody give God praise for all those folks who just prayed. In your message notes is a piece of paper that looks like this. I'd like everybody to take it in your hand because I'm going to ask your help. Would you help me build a fire at Grace? Would you help me build the fire at Grace? See, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about increasing our commitment to prayer, to the Word of God, and to seeking God. First thing there, I'll continue to build my personal prayer life by having a quiet time. You know, I left a blank there for the number of times per week you're going to make an appointment with God. You're going to talk to God. And what you're going to do is you're basically going to be tending the flame of God's Spirit in your life. Now, let me encourage you. Say, Pastor, I don't know how to do that. Out in the hub, we have these things called prayer books. God gave me this idea last year to put together a prayer book just to teach people how to pray. In here, there's about 20 or 25 different ways to pray. And if you do one every 25 days or just do one a week, you know what you're doing? As you open this and as you use it to pray, you know what you're doing? You're tending the flame. The flame is growing. The fire of God is, does this make sense? And so this will help you. And I know I asked you this a couple weeks ago to make a commitment to personal prayer, but I want to challenge you. If you do it and I do it and we tend the flame of God, guess what happens when we come to church, man? The fire burns. The presence of God is here and God does good things, all right? So I want you to write that down, what you'll do. The other thing is I want to encourage you, would you commit to praying with us for our church family, and our community? One of the ways you can do that is on Tuesday mornings. We pray at 6:30 to 7:30. Maybe you can join us weekly. Maybe you can join us monthly. Or I'll participate on Sunday mornings. We pray 8:15 to 8:45 in Connection Central. We had a small army praying this morning. It was awesome. And how many know, when the prayer room is full, man, good stuff's going to happen. It's just going to happen. So help us out. I'll participate in prayer on Saturday mornings with the guys, or I'll become a prayer guardian. We have a ministry called Prayer Guardians who come to the prayer room 1 hour a week, and they're praying over requests and praying over the church. If you'll mark that, we'll give you information how to be part of that. You get to pick the hour you can be part of. Or maybe you're unable to do any of those things because of schedule or work or whatever. You say, you know what, I can't be here those particular times, but I'll commit to pray at some point every week for the church. Put your name there, your email address. Turn it in, and what we'll do, you'll be on the prayer team. I will send you prayer requests, and here's what we're praying about the church. Here's what I want to encourage you. You're going to be my prayer partner for the church. We're going to sing this song, and I'd like you to take a moment and respond to God's word here today and the challenge to build that fire in your life and build that fire in our church so that the Spirit of God can do everything that He desires to do in you, in your family, in our church, at your school, where you work, in your neighborhood. Would you respond today? Fill this out. And in just a moment, we're going to turn these in. Take a moment and do it as we sing this song.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul.
God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Amen. I want you to take that piece of paper and I want you to pass it to the aisle, the closest aisle, where you're at, and then our ushers are going to come and they're going to come and gather that up. So, Tim, would you help us out down here? Okay. Just pass it down to the aisle there, and then this is your commitment to help us pray. This is your commitment to say, I'm going to build the fire in my own life. I'm going to help build the fire of God in my own heart and my own soul. Amen? Now, here's what I want you to do. If you're here and you're one of those people that raised your hand, I need to make it right with God, I want you to join with some of our pastors over here, and we're going to pray with you. But here's what I'd like everybody else to do. If you'd say, you know what? I want the fire of God to be stronger in my heart than it's ever been. Maybe it's already a good fire, you just want it to grow. Maybe you're one of those folks, you know, there's embers there, there's a flicker there, but boy, I want it to turn into a raging flame of God's presence. Would you make a step toward God here today and come to this altar, right? Make it your altar and let's feed the flame of God in our own hearts and our lives. Would you come? Come on, let's pray as we sing, as we worship. Come on, let's press in. Let's press in. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. There's some people here, and when I was challenging you about the fire in your belly, I believe I was hearing God say that a lot of the struggles that, not every time, but sometimes the struggles that we face at home simply have to do with the neglect of the fire. And we want that person to do this, and we want him to do this, and her to do that. If she'd only do that, listen. All, can I tell you, the very first step is rebuild the flame and watch the heat begin to grow and the warmth begin to grow and the relationships begin to change because holiness begins to be a priority again. If you're here today and your relationships are going through difficult times, or if your family's walking through darkness, or your marriage is shaky or attacked or whatever, can I tell you, make this your prayer. God, set a fire down in my soul. Help me to build the fire of God in my home, not just in my private life, but in my home, and let that begin to change. If that's you, would you reach both hands to heaven and just begin to pray, God, restore the fire to my house. God, restore the fire to my belly. God, let the fire of God grow in my spirit. Let the fire of God grow in my relationships at my house, in my children, in my children's children. God, let relationships begin to change. God, instead of hardness and callousness and coldness, God, let there be a transformation, God. Let there be a change, Lord, in our hearts. Let the fire burn. God, let it burn with purity. Let it burn with passion, God. Let it burn with holiness, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And begin to burn off the junk, God. Begin to burn off the flesh. Begin to burn off the things that hinder and snuff out the fire of God. Help us, oh God, to clear out those things that are choking the fire, God, and help us, oh God, to feed the flame. Feed the flame, oh God. Restore us. Restore us. We pray with your hands to heaven. Make it your prayer. Start a fire down in my soul, God. Start a fire in my house. Start a fire, oh God, in my relationships. God, help us, oh God, to renew and restore and do those first works over again and restore our first love. God, restore our first love. Restore our first love, we pray. Stir it up, God. Stir it up, we pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, start a fire, God. Let it be, Lord. Let it be, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We need you, God. Now, would you help me pray for this coming weekend? This marriage event that's going to take place this coming weekend, for some, it will simply be an encouragement and a strengthening. For others, it will be life and death. For others, it will be somebody's future, some child's future. And so we need more than just good stuff. We need more than just good information. This speaker is going to be great and good, but we need more than what a good speaker can bring. We need this fire to burn in people's hearts, and then God will begin to change our hearts and our passions, right? Would you join with me and begin to pray for this weekend? Come on, would you do it? Father, in Jesus' name, would you start a revival of families here in this place this coming weekend? God, would you restore broken hearts? Would you restore broken marriages? God, would you strengthen relationships? Lord, would you begin to restore hurt? God, those things that are hurting in those wounds, would you begin to heal? God, would you strengthen? Father, we pray in Jesus' name that there'll be a move of God in this marriage conference this weekend. We pray, Lord, that your spirit would draw people, and God, that your power would move, your anointing would flow like a river of life. God, restore passions, God, restore zeal for relationships. God, restore us, and may we be a representation of Jesus and his bride. God, let the men love their wives. Let the wives love their husbands. God, let there be a move of God in our community, in families, in relationships, in marriage. And God, may you spark a revival this weekend. Draw them, we pray. Draw them, we pray. And let a mighty work be done in Jesus' name. We pray. And everybody said amen. Amen. Now listen, I want you to put feet to your prayers in just a moment when we dismiss, and go register, and then go register somebody else, and then guilt somebody and bribe them and do all this stuff. Get them here, and let's believe that God's going to answer our prayers. Amen. Now, if you want to keep praying, please do so. We're not dismissing you from the altar at all. If you want to continue to seek God, you do so. But Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Build a fire in me. Build a fire in my house. Build a fire in this church. Build a fire in this community for the sake of lost people, for the sake of those who are bound, for the sake of those who need you, for the sake of our families, for the sake of our community and our nation. Send your fire, God, and may it grow in us, we pray. Amen.